God,
it makes no sense. Sometimes there's things that maybe to our minds, to our understanding, there's sometimes things that God tells us to do that really don't make sense. Be honest with me. Amen? There is sometimes things that God asks us to do that don't make sense. Don't make sense. I'm trying to illustrate this point. How many of you would like to jump off a plane 15,000 feet above the earth? How many of you would like to do skydiving? Raise your hand. Truly, you like to do it. I've done it. It's an awesome feeling. Many of you are thinking, well, not really. Why would I jump out of a perfectly nice looking plane that's running perfectly smoothly? I'm not going to jump off. It just doesn't make what? It doesn't make sense. How many of you have been driving in the freeway and all of a sudden this bike just flies? They're going about 120 miles an hour, 130 miles an hour. And you're asking yourself, what? Why is that person driving so fast? Don't they know that if a little mistake, a little rock that hits them, and they're going to just, it just doesn't make sense. How many of you have seen a bike ride in one wheel in the middle of the freeway doing 70 miles an hour? Well, I've seen my friend do that. And it just doesn't make sense. See, I like speed and I like some crazy stuff, but I have limits and it just doesn't make sense for people to do certain things, doesn't it? So sometimes even that carries into the spiritual life. God sometimes asks us things that just in our minds and our understanding, it just doesn't make sense. Plainly, it doesn't make sense. God, why do you want me to do this? It doesn't make sense. Why would you like me to stand for your Sabbath day when it may cost me my job? Now, get in the minds of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which were actually not their real names. They were their Babylonian names. The real names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now get in their minds for a second. Could you do that with me? Just think. Here they are. They're about to get burned. If they don't worship this image that Nebuchadnezzar had built. And what do they say? We're not going to do it. It just doesn't make sense, does it? If I was Michelle, and be honest with me, if I was them, I would have been like this. I would have been like, la, 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 la. Oh, look, I dropped some money. Where is it? Where's my contact lens? And then later on you say, oh, Lord, you understand. It didn't make sense at that moment. At that point, it's like, it was either my life or me standing for you. It didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Let's bow our heads as we begin our message. Father in heaven, it is our prayer, our desire, that your Holy Spirit will teach us this morning how to trust in you, even when things don't make sense. Father, please, it's our desire and our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to our scripture text, Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to use our Bibles this morning, amen? Genesis, what chapter are we going to? Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 16 and 17 as we continue with our message, it makes no sense, God. God, it makes no sense. Whatever you ask of me, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, are you there, amen? Let's read it. And God suggested, please correct me because I just misquoted God's holy word, guys. He what? See, people today in society are taking God's command as just 10 suggestions. When there are actually commands from God. God's commands. And the Lord commanded man, saying, out of every tree of the garden, thou may freely eat. And then in verse 17 he says, but out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou wilt surely what? Die. Was that simple, yes or no? Yes, it was plain, clearly, all the trees we can eat, lemons, fruits, papayas, everything, you know. Watermelons hanging from the trees, you know, every fruit we can eat. We can eat it. We eat every single one, but this one, we can't eat it. Now, you may think, well, Adam and Eve were perfect. They can't think like us. Well, let me suggest something to you this morning. Adam and Eve, just like you and I, were growing and trusting in God. They had no sin. Do we understand that? Yes, amen? No sin. Sin had not entered into their hearts yet. But they were still what? Growing. Growing and understanding God's character. Just like the angels. Just like the angels. But here, do you think Adam and Eve maybe like just said, why can we eat of all the trees, but at this one, what's the difference? What's so different about this tree? Now let me ask you a question. Was there anything different about the tree? No. Was there anything different about the fruit? What was the only difference? The command that God had said, don't do it. That's the only difference. There was no difference with the tree. There was nothing wrong with the tree. Would you believe that? Say amen if you do. You know how I know that? The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that when God had finished everything in creation, He saw it and it was what? Very good, the Bible tells us. It was good and it was then very good when everything was done. Then God rested. But the point is this, that there was nothing wrong with the tree. But in Adam and Eve's mind and head, it just didn't make sense that God was asking them to do this. But Adam and Eve had to just what? Just trust. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense. They just had to trust in God no matter what. And it's really hard to do that, my brothers and my sisters. It is the hardest thing in the life of a Christian when things don't make sense. God is asking us to do something, like for example, give tithe, when everything is going downhill and the gas is going uphill. And God is saying, just trust. Isn't that hard? And we're shaking as we're taking the money and giving it to God. You know, we said, Lord, here goes my lunch. Just trust. Turn with me to the book of Mark. Let's see if you can beat me there. Mark. And we're going to the feeding of the 5,000. It's right before Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 6, I'm there, amen. Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 30. Now, we don't have time to read the whole entire thing. We're going to focus in just a few verses here in the story. But Jesus draws his disciples. He's teaching them, and a big multitude is following Jesus. It's about 5,000 people, now counting men, women, children, uncles, grandmothers, all the women, all the children, they're not counting. There's 5,000 men and all their families that are following Jesus. And here it is. Here it is, the moment of truth. It comes a point when the people start getting what? And just like you probably are right now. You know, you start getting hungry. You know, your stomach starts growling. And then the disciples said, Jesus, we're in the middle of nowhere. There is no food for less. There's no Walmarts around here. What are we going to do? Pick with me the story in verse 36. The disciples said to Jesus, pick the story with me right here in verse 36. Chapter 6, verse 36. Are you there? Amen? send them away, that they may go into the Walmarts and all the surrounding countries and the villages or the Walgreens or wherever they shop, and the villages, and buy themselves what? Bread or food. For they have nothing to what? Now look with me, verse 37 and onward. But he answered and said unto them, what? If somebody were to put you in charge of a pollock you've never planned for 5,000 people, including more than 5,000 people, and I just tell you this morning, hey, you're in charge of pollock, feed 5,000 people, what would you tell me? Have a good day, Alex. I hope you feed all those 5,000 people. See you later. And just walk away. Here is Jesus asking them, asking his disciples to do something incredible. How in the world, Jesus? Now, you know Jesus, because you told us not to bring any money, not to bring any purses, not sandals, not nothing, no clothes, no nothing. And now you're telling us to go and buy food for all these people? It just doesn't make what? It makes no sense. You're kidding, huh? You're just playing with us, Jesus. Now look, continue reading with me. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 denarius worth of bread and give something to eat? What? But he said unto them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. When they found out, they said, what? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Then he commanded them, make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. And they sat down in the ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up, blessed, broke the loaves, gave them, and his disciples set before them the 2 fishes he divided among them all. And the Bible tells us what? They all ate until they were what? Now, I like other accounts in the Gospels that says that Jesus was doing this to test the disciples. He was doing this just to see whether the disciples were going to trust in Jesus, even if it didn't make what? Even if it didn't make sense. Jesus, you're asking us for something impossible, but I'm going to do it anyway. An evangelistic series is coming. And I keep repeating that because I want you to catch the vision of what God wants to do in your community. God is telling you, invite your friends, invite your family, invite those who don't know about Jesus, invite them to the evangelistic series. And you may say, Lord, it doesn't make sense because I can't speak. I've never done that. It just doesn't make sense. I have too much on my plate. I have too much. And Jesus is just saying, just trust in me. If you trust in me and if you do what I tell you to do, you will see the loaves and the fishes multiply. I was expecting more immense, but that's okay. Let's go to our next text. When we put God to the test, guys, when we allow it, and this is the hardest part of Christianity, isn't it? Practicing what we hear in our own individual lives when things happen in our lives. Isn't that what Christianity is all about? Yes? No? Yes, amen? And it's the hardest thing, you know, because we can come here, we can sit down, hear a good sermon. But you know the hardest thing is when we actually begin practicing it in our own individual lives. That's what the world is looking for. The world is looking for Christians, young men, young women, and people of all their ages to really practice trusting in God. That's what God is looking for also. Let's go to our Bibles in the book of Genesis. Genesis in verse chapter 26. As we finish with our sermon, God, it makes no sense. God, it makes no sense. Genesis chapter 26, verses 1, and we're going to read several verses in that chapter. God, it makes no sense. Let me ask you a question. Does God change? Do you really believe that? Do you believe that God sometimes does something and then other times He just doesn't? Does God part the Red Sea and then later on when we need Him to part a Red Sea of problems, does He do that? Yes or no? Yes. He is the same God, yes? Amen. He changed not. He is the same yesterday, today, and how many long? Forever. He is the same loving God. Do you guys understand that? Say amen. Now we need to begin practicing that in our own individual lives. You know, because many of us, we believe in a God who has done wonderful things in the past, who will do wonderful things in the future, but not many of us are practicing the God who is alive and is working those wonderful things right here and right now. God wants to do the same wonderful things that He did for Moses, for Abraham, for Isaac, for David, and for all the patriarchs of all, and for all the disciples. God wants to do the same thing in your life. He wants to work the same way. See, we don't have to wait until the latter day comes. Why aren't we not receiving the latter day? Is it because we don't want it? Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. Let's begin reading with verse 1. God who works now the same way that He worked in the past. Are you guys there? Amen? There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, to Gerar. There was three famines that are found in the book of Genesis. One is in the time of Abraham. The other one was in the time of Jacob. And another one was in the time of Isaac. We are reading the one in the time of Isaac. But now let me ask you this question. When there was a famine in the time of Abraham, where did Abraham go when there was a famine in the land? Where? All right. Did God stop Abraham from going to Egypt? No. Now we go to Jacob. When there was a famine in the land in the time of Jacob, where did Jacob and his family go to? Egypt. Now read with me right here, verse 2. There was a famine in the time of Isaac. Now look at what the Bible says. Then the Lord appeared unto him and said, do not go down where? Live in the land of which I shall what? Stay here. What do you think Isaac was thinking? Be honest. Come on. You're crazy, God. Exactly. You want me to stay here where everything is dying? There is no water, there is no plants, there is no vegetation. You're putting me in the middle of the desert. You want me to stay here, Lord? What did God said to Isaac? Yes. But God, I'm sitting here in my tent and I'm looking at everybody. Everybody is passing with their camels and all their SUVs. They have everything behind them. They're all passing and they're all on their way to Egypt. Do you still want me to stay here, Lord? Yes. But God, it makes no sense. If I stay here, my family is going to die. I am going to die. Because there is a famine in the land. Do you still want me to stay here, Lord? What did God say? Yes. Now look with me in the next promise. Now, God told him to stay in a famine land. In a land where there was a famine. Now look with the promise that God gives him. Dwell in this land, and I will be with what? With you, and I will bless you, for you and your descendants. I will give to all your descendants, and I will perform the oath that I swore unto your father Abraham, your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heavens, and I will give your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all nations of the earth shall be what? Now, does that sound like an awesome promise, yes or no? Does that sound like something that will pump you up? Yes or no? Yes. But tell me the truth, guys. If you were Isaac and God was telling you that, will you doubt God? To be honest, I would. Because it sounds good, God. It all sounds good. You know, you're going to make my descendants great. You're going to bless me. You're going to give my descendants. But God, if I stay in this land, there's not going to be any descendants. I'm going to die. And my descendants are going to die too. If they don't decide to go to Egypt. Do you still want me to stay here? God says what? Yes. Yes. I want you to stay here. Now look at with me. Tell me if this is not faith, guys. Verse 12. Look with me. Look 12. Verse 12. Look with me, verse 12. Then Isaac, what? Is that trusting in God? Yes. It makes no sense, God. But I'm going to do it anyhow. I'm going to do it no matter what. If it doesn't make sense, if it just goes contrary to my mind, I don't understand why you're asking me to do this, Lord. But I am going to trust you no matter what. Because I know that you provided for my father. And I know that you created the heavens and the earth. I know that everything belongs to you. I'm going to trust in you, even if it makes no sense. Now continue reading with me. And he saw where? Not in Egypt, but in that land, the Bible makes sure to tell us. And he reaped in the same year, how much? You tell me again. How much? Now, how many of you have done any type of gardening, sowing? Yeah. Can you get 100-fold from what you put in? Yes or no? Not usually. Thank you, Brother Harold. Not usually. Now, let me ask you something. If you go and plant something in the desert, there's no water, nothing, would you get 100-fold? I want you to catch this, please. Don't miss it. Isaac sowed in the land and he reaped 100 what? Fold. That is how God blesses us when we trust in him no matter what is going on in our lives. Even if it makes no sense, we still serve God no matter what. That's the type of faith that God is expecting of us. God wants us to trust Him fully with everything that we have. And when we do that, God does the rest. Amen? God does the rest. So all you have to do is go to a friend and say, you know what? There's going to be these evangelistic series. They're going to show us like what's going on around the world today. Why don't you come? Starts on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Leave the brochure with them. And God will do the rest. If we only trust God, guys, if we only put ourselves by faith out there, God will bless us. I was about 4 years ago, and you may say, well, this doesn't apply to you, to us today. About 4 years ago, I was a leader of a Christian group that was going door to door selling Christian books, co-porters. And we have radios. One of my students went and knocked on doors. By the way, the young people are the ones who grow the most in these programs, not the leaders, not the people who get the books are the students. The students, you see them grow spiritually so much. Just because they're putting themselves out there by faith and they're letting God just work through them. Okay? And maybe they're not the most eloquent people, but they're just out there knocking on doors, trying to share Jesus with people. And let me tell you, they're the most blessed. But this student was really afraid. And when she came to this door, there was these two people arguing. They were screaming at each other. The couple were screaming. And it seemed like they were throwing things at each other because there was a big rattle inside the house. Well, my student is so afraid. She calls me and she says, "Alex, I need you to come because these people are fighting and I don't know what to do." And I said, what do you think you should do? And she said, "Well, go to the next house." And I said, "No, of course not." I said, "Why do you think God has you there?" "He has you there for a reason." So I said, "What do you think you should do?" And she says, "I guess knock on the door." And I was like, "Yes, I'll be there." So I just speed out there, and I got there. We both knocked the door together. The guy came, he was so angry. And he was screaming at me. He's like, "Don't you know where I fight? Get out of here, I'm not interested." And I said this. I looked at him and I said, "Sir, I don't want to be here. But God sent me here, and He wants you to have this." And I put a book in his hand, and his facial expression changed. He looked at the book, and he said, "Hold on, I'll be back." He goes, grabs his wife, and his wife is still hitting him as she's bringing it. So he's going, "Bah, bah, bah, leave me alone, get out of here, I don't want to talk to anybody." So anyway, so she's screaming. And I'm just, I don't want to talk, I don't want to be there for sure. You know, I don't feel like being there. You know, these people are having a fight. So she says, "Don't you see we're having a fight?" And I said the same thing. "Ma'am, I don't want to be here, but God sent me here." Here, I put another book in her hand. So they're both looking at the books, and they look at each other, and they're like. They end up getting two books, which are Steps to Christ and Christ Object Lessons. When they closed the door, and we were leaving, I told my student to leave, and I stayed there. The couple said to each other, "God wants us to read these books. Let's read them right now." I don't know what happened to the couple. That's up to God. But the point is this. Sometimes it doesn't make sense what God asks us to do. But if we don't step out in faith, we will never see the power of God in our lives. We continue to complain. Why is there not miracles in our lives? You know why? Because you're not stepping out in faith and trusting God with everything that you have. I encourage you. I challenge you. For I'd rather be in a land where there is a famine with God than in the land of plenty without God. I hope you understand that. My desire for you this morning is that your experience with God will grow to the next level, where you're putting God to the test. And you're saying, "Lord, it makes no sense sometimes what I'm doing, but you asked me to do them. You asked me to do them, and I'm just going to do them because I trust in you." If that's your desire, I want you to stand with me as we finish with the word of prayer. But don't stand because everybody else is standing. If you really have that desire, if you want to say, "Lord, I want to put you to the test. Lord, I'm going to go to my friend at work who never listens to me, and I'm going to invite him to this evangelistic series. I'm just going to say, here is a brochure. Please come to these meetings. They're going to be awesome. And I'm just going to leave it in your hands." If you want to do that, raise your hand. You just want to trust God. It doesn't matter how it is. You want to just put him to the test. Maybe it's in tithes and offerings. Maybe it's in the Sabbath. Whatever you're struggling with. You want to say, "Lord, I want to put you to the test. I want to see something wonderful happen in my life personally." Raise your hand. I know I do. Let's bow our heads. Every head bow, every eye closed. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. Because we see in the Bible how you provide for us. Father, you tell us that your strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. Oh, Lord, that's why we rejoice in our weaknesses and we step out in faith, knowing that you will provide for the rest. We step out in faith like Isaac and like the disciples, Lord, that even though there was not a lot of things, they just stepped out in faith and said, "We only have two little fishes and five loaves." Here we are, Lord. We're standing and we ask that you do that in our lives. Help us to trust in you. Help us to step out in faith. It's my prayer. In Jesus' name, let everyone say amen, amen, and amen.